on in. Sit right down. Keep your hands up. Keep your chin down. Shut the door. Time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? Coming to you live and in living color from Tournament de Pizza here in St. Pete. If you do a 10-bell salute, Caleb, Matt, Few, what's up, guys?
What's up?
If you do a 10-bell salute to recognize the passing of someone, right, what would you do to remember, like, a good thing, something great that happened this day in history? Is there something?
Usually give them holidays.
It's a holiday?
That's typically what happens.
Okay, then today's historical.
It's not bad. That's a good answer.
That's a
great answer.
Then today should be a holiday.
Why?
Today marks one of the greatest days and events in the history of the United States of America.
Okay, which is?
That's February 22nd? 23rd.
Whatever today is. The 22nd, February 22nd. February Any thoughts?
22nd. What happened on this day?
Hopefully my intel's right. If not, this would really be
Donald
bad.
Donald Trump announces presidential.
easy. Why you got to go there? You're going to hurt him.
Not at all. No. I think he's a buffoon. I'm over that stuff.
I was just messing around.
No.
What is it?
Way before your birth.
Yeah.
Today, Team USA beats Russia.
Oh, and the frozen
The Miracle on Ice.
Okay.
Do you know anything about that?
The 1982?
I do.
What year is
it? No, it was not 82.
I've seen the movie.
It's 88.
No. It was maybe 90?
No.
Yes.
No, I was in high school in 90.
Do you want to bet it wasn't 88?
Yeah, it's got to be 80-something, 84.
I will bet you roughly $5 billion.
Whoa.
So, okay, put up or shut up.
I didn't know.
Then you better shut up.
I don't know the answer.
On the case of Russia, this is not political, by the way, but I've heard a lot of stories about, so you know, like Russia, China, a lot of these countries where probably not democracies, you can say.
<They're>, lack
you know,
of.
Yeah, lack of.
They're like knockout radio.
I can relate. Yeah, right? So when they are getting the athletes ready, because it's so important to us to be the best in the world at sports.
Right.
They get kids into these training facilities when they're 4, 5, 6, 3 years old, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's what you're going to do. You're going to represent the country.
Yeah.
And they start giving them, like you heard Islam talk about this. Habib has talked about this, sort of, they gave me supplements and stuff when I was 5, 6 years old.
Right.
And, you know, I think Russia got caught for juicing their whole Olympic team some years ago.
Their whole country.
Yeah. Their whole country. Right. We should pick up on that, man. Get some kids, you know. Get LeBron and Bronny and just be like, hey, man,
I really
come to school.
That's one of the reasons that the Olympics made that switch, you know, for professional athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Because back in the day, again, before your birth, the Russian athletes were amateurs who were paid to be in the military.
Mm.
So that's how they got funded, you know, where our schlows over here, you know, they couldn't get money. They couldn't work.
Yeah.
You know, and some people had to get real jobs. And that was the start of them being paid, and that's why mad props, and I say this all the time, to Oscar Schmidt, if you know who Oscar Schmidt is.
No clue.
Oscar Schmidt,
basketball player.
Yeah, he's been trying to steal my game jersey.
Number 14.
Every time he comes into the house.
The Rio de Janeiro team.
Oscar De La Hoya. Oscar Schmidt, arguably the greatest non-American basketball player of all time.
Come on. Let's.
I mean, Tal Brody was up there.
Before
non-American?
Non-American.
Dirk Nowitzki is alive.
Whoa, easy. Calm down.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Luka Doncic.
Okay. Do some research on Oscar Schmidt.
Oscar Schmidt's the real deal.
Do some research.
I'll do some research.
Tal Brody, Israeli, brought the European Cup to Israel. Kind of a big deal.
Do a little bit of research.
Gasol.
And again, different times, NBA teams wanted to sign him, and he refused because to him it was more important to represent his country.
Uh-huh.
Because back in the day, you had to be an amateur.
Oh, okay, I got you.
So,
couldn't do both.
Right. You couldn't do both unless you were in Russia.
Yeah.
Where
was the Dream Team the first?
Yes.
The first one that was they allowed. And then it was like, okay.
And basically, when that became an okay, that's when the NBA said, now you're screwed.
Yeah.
Now let's see. Yeah. You know, but, you know, I kind of miss the amateur athletes. I know this isn't the direction we were going to necessarily
but in hockey, all the best players are from other countries. So in the Olympics, they go and play for Canada and Russia.
But are there amateur athletes anymore? Not really.
No, not anymore.
I'm saying there's no such thing as an amateur
right.
athlete anymore.
No, no, no.
Unless you get a high school kid, you know.
And so. They're not amateurs.
Really, yeah, they get NIL deals now.
Right.
Texas
right.
approved it. You can get it in high school.
Yep. Right.
That's awesome.
I can't wait until an elementary kid gets it. You know, it's like, you know, LeBron's grandson.
Oh, for sure. Well, you know, Matt Barkley committed to USC when he was in the seventh grade.
Right.
Wow. Right. I remember that was a big deal. They offered him a scholarship in the seventh grade, and he ended up going there, starting, got drafted, and, you know, almost was Heisman candidate. That's insane.
But how is that any different when your father, I can't remember his name, it'll come to me, my wife grew up mm-hmm. with... I can't think of his name. I'll Google it. Who went on to play at Duke, went into the NBA. Literally, his job growing up was getting ready for the NBA.
Yeah.
Grant Hill?
No. I'm pretty sure Grant Hill's not from Bridgeport, Connecticut. Really, Monroe, Connecticut. God, I can't think of his name. He was once, he played against the Magic, and I went to introduce myself. Mm. And he was on the ground stretching. And when he stood up, I literally thought he was the Jolly Green Giant.
Yeah.
He was the tallest dude I've ever stood next to.
Really?
Yeah, he was massive. Jaminski was his name. I can't remember his first name.
I'm going to act like I know who you're talking
about. Yeah, you know. No, you know. I think he went on to commentate, you know, after he retired for Duke.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, he was big time. But my wife told me that he was out in the snow shooting 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, and so what's the difference? You might as well get paid.
Yeah. I like the fact that the amateur stuff is almost kind of a mute point now. We know that you're professionals. Some of you are in high school, because these, especially basketball players, AAU, you're traveling on the circuit. Zion Williamson was more famous than most NBA players when he was a senior in high school. Right? Really, his junior year.
He wasn't that famous.
Oh, he was famous.
Not that famous. Randy Harris didn't know who he was. I had no idea who he was.
Oh, my
goodness. In Brooklyn.
He walked right by.
And I was like, dude, that's Zion Williamson. He's like, oh, who is? Yeah. And here's a cool Zion story.
But does that surprise you?
No. Okay. You haven't seen any movies.
Here's a cool story, though. You know the routine. You're with your teammates. You know, the elevator's going up. You're in a hotel. It's in the lobby area, so it's just general people. Mm-hmm. And his whole team was on the elevator holding it for Zion. A little boy ran up. It's like, Zion. Went to give him a fist dap. Zion got off the elevator, came out, gave the kid a fist dap. Made the kid's whole life.
Absolutely.
He's the awesome. Coolest guy, humble, and he was already a McDonald's All-American star, already going to the NBA.
Did he already blow the shoe out, or was that after?
That was after.
That was a dude.
Okay. No, I know.
19 years old, Jordan says, here's $100 million before you play a play in the NBA. Amazing. I love it.
Yeah. Obviously, great stuff.
Did we look up the Miracle on Ice yet, producer Steve? Can we get a stat of like what year that was? I bet it was before 1990.
All right, I'll bet you.
I don't have $5 billion.
It was definitely before 1990.
Yeah,
the Miracle on Ice
got to be like 82.
Oh yeah, I'm thinking 80s. Yeah,
oh,
no, you're right.
Yeah, I was like,
you should have done the billions. it was late 70s. When late 70s or 1980. I think it was might have been 1980.
Because the movie came out in the late 90s.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah, I watched that one. I saw the movie.
I tried to deduct 10 years off my life. That's all. I'm like, I was in the military when it happened. Okay. I was. In the military station in Boston the day of that game. And I remember, when you go in the military, you have to do 3 months of KP duty.
Okay.
And they think they shaft you when they send you over to the wardroom, which is the officer room. And you got to kiss butt and, you know, be more. But I was done work every day at 8 in the morning. And I remember sitting there with an officer watching this thing. And then a bunch of those amateurs were from the Boston area. And they came back to Logan Airport. It was a huge deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it was 1980. What did I say it was?
You said 1990.
Did I say 90?
And I was like, I was in high school.
Well, I was in high school.
Yeah, I meant 80.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have one like that in Nigeria when I think it was the, I want to say either the 89 World Cup or the 88 World Cup or the 92 World Cup where we beat Brazil. And it was like, and Brazil at that time was like just running through people. And it was like JJ Okocha, Kanuwankwa. We went and beat Brazil 2-1. And you would think the whole country won the World Cup that day. But it was just like the biggest event because those were like the powers and the, you know, so it was pretty awesome.
Well, ironically that you said that, Americans forget that game against Russia wasn't the gold medal game.
Yeah.
That was to get to the gold medal game.
Right.
And a lot of people were so concerned that they kind of blew everything by winning that game. Not blew, you know, they blew the opportunity because everybody thought that was the greatest thing ever.
Yes.
There's no way that they're going to go and beat Sweden because it's going to be such a huge letdown. Well,
yeah. That's what the Rays did. They won their division, went to the World Series. They treated it like a championship. Then the Phillies swept them.
I thought I had something to do with that.
No. I mean, well, you're from there, I guess.
Well, and that's why in hockey, they never touch the trophy. When they win their conference, that's the whole deal.
Oh,
about
really?
It's not
like a superstition.
Yeah, it is a superstition, and it's like
come on,
that's real. In the locker room, you know, the superstitions.
It's a superstition. I'm not saying that there's any truth to it.
Yeah.
Do you have a superstition? Do you have a certain routine, like certain pair of socks?
Yeah, I'll tell you what his superstition is. So when a media guy who's real close to him comes out to like talk to him at training camp or a practice, and he hugs people. Like, so he hugs a media guy in front of other media people that already hate him.
Oh. So I don't think a routine is superstition. I think a routine is something that you do, especially for athletes, to get your body. So there's some days you don't feel like practicing, you don't feel like playing, your body hurts. But if you have a routine that you stick to, when you finish your routine, psychologically you're telling yourself, hey, I'm ready to go.
I got that.
Whether or not I feel ready. But it's not superstition.
Coming off the baseball diamond or off the gridiron.
Hold on. There are guys that don't
walk on the chalk. Like, they're like pitchers. They don't, they jump over.
Now, I'm not saying that you do this, but some athletes, their routine, not superstition, their routine is they always put their right sock on first. Yeah. That's superstition.
If
that's
not a
routine.
If you do that, then I just don't know. That's not a personal thing for me because I wear different. I got swag, so sometimes my socks will be different. My gloves are going to be different. You know, like, there's certain things that I need. Okay, if I need to
Is that swag or lack of swag?
That's definitely swag.
Just not caring?
Yeah.
Well,
when I say my socks are different, I mean, like, I might wear long whites one day, not the red shirt.
Yeah. You were saying a different one. I got swag
red.
Now.
No.
I'm socks with swag. I've been wearing swag from 86.
I thought I was in like Flint. All right, let's go to our first break of the afternoon, coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Song.
You know what I'm trying to say.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Justin Leonard from the PGA Tour, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
It all starts here. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, roars along the spectacular waterfront of beautiful downtown St. Petersburg. Are you ready? Be here. March 3rd to the 5th, the NTT IndyCar Series headlines an action-packed weekend of racing under the sun.
Scott McLaughlin, he is now an IndyCar race winner!
Advance tickets start at $25. Get yours now. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, March 3rd to 5th. Be here.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Gottsplit and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hello, this is Clyde the Glide Drexler from Houston, Texas, site of the 2004 Major League Baseball All-Star Game. And I just want you to know that you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Whoa.
It's your fault.
Wait, like, that guy's from Portland. He's not a Houston.
Oh my God, he's an idiot.
Yeah, come on. Clyde Drexler?
He is a walking, talking moron.
Glide. He played for Houston. He played
for
Portland.
Oh my God.
Clyde Drexler didn't play for Houston, or for Portland?
Oh my God.
He wasn't a trailblazer?
Oh my God.
Are you serious?
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying you're an idiot.
Yeah. Why?
College.
Oh, college doesn't count.
Okay.
That's not even like the
stats. I have a question though. The stats. Fine, let me just throw this out before I forget. Okay. We had a legend coming on today.
You said.
And it's been changed for 2 weeks from today.
That Wayne.
Wayne Newton is coming on. Do you know who that is? Nope.
So, because you said
only two names. When you say Las Vegas to anybody that's either been to Las Vegas, knows about Las Vegas, or is older than you are, they will say Elvis Presley or Wayne Newton.
Yeah.
I was thinking Al Pacino and. Robert De Niro.
Casino.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye. Okay.
Bye.
Oh, so you had an ad earlier, and you said the haircut place takes care of men, women, kids, and senior citizens. I'm trying to figure out, do senior citizens have different hair than men and women?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because you have to get the blue tint.
Salt and pepper.
Yeah.
And the crew cut.
And they do the rock and roll style.
Yeah. Okay.
That's not just that real hair.
I may have to change it with today's world.
Yeah, you have to add 100 more.
Right.
Transgender.
Yeah, you know. So I go to play golf yesterday, and I played in the Valspar media event.
Okay.
And
thanks for the invite, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. That's cool. We were cool.
First of all, I'm not running the media portion of Valspar.
We were free. I mean, we had nothing to do. Yeah. It was fine.
I was fortunate enough that they added me.
Apparently, you didn't want to win.
It's fine. Well, it's not about winning, or I would have brought Steve Monroe.
Saw me at Topgolf. You know I got a wicked slice.
You're awful.
pizza guy, I got the slice.
So this lady gets in the cart, and she goes, "What's your thoughts on transgender?" That's the first thing she says to me.
That's awesome. What a great, just jump right in.
Right?
We had no icebreakers, no nothing. Yeah, nothing. Just the most controversial topic in the world. Let's hit it right now.
And, you know, she drops that, and then.
You should have just gone like this, pointed your shirt that says people, not a big fan.
Yeah.
And that would have told you everything you need to know.
So then she said something else, and then she said, "I think we've played before." And I said, no, I don't think so. You know, every year they pair you up with different people and whatever.
So you go every year? Never told us.
I do go every year.
Wow.
That hurts.
It's crazy. Okay, that's cool. Truth comes out.
Do you go fishing every day?
You every don't want to go.
I do want to go.
You don't want to be out till 3 in the morning.
I told you I do.
Okay, we'll see.
All right. So,
hurry up.
So then she drops a couple other things. And then she said, yeah, I was even interviewed by somebody in the Tampa Bay area. And then it hit me. She did play with me because we did interview her. She played, and she lets everybody know this, she played for the women's country club title, I think it was in Seminole or Clearwater, against a transgender. And we had her on, and we talked about it.
A transgender man or woman?
This would be a man who became a woman.
A transgender woman, got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know which, you know, and so I didn't really want to talk about it again with her, but I still agreed with her. I mean, it's BS. I mean, and obviously she lost, right?
Soccer.
Yeah.
Because I drove her. I mean, it's a man. It's still.
Do you know who Adam Hunter is?
No.
Okay. If I can ever get you to Vegas for a UFC, we'll go see Adam Hunter. Adam Hunter is a comedian.
Yeah.
He is awesome. He's also a junior high wrestling coach.
Okay.
Have you met Adam? You know me.
I haven't met him, but I know him.
Okay. So, you know, he has a lot of those reels on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts talking about that he is a junior high wrestling coach. And when it comes to transgender, a lot of people are upset that transgenders are now eligible. He goes, to me, that shows commitment. I want that.
It's not wrong.
That's pretty funny.
It really was pretty funny.
That's pretty funny. That's good. I just lose my train of thought. Yeah, okay, so I would need you. You've made about 4 references since the start of the show. It's been 22 minutes. I have not known one of them. So let's start making references from 85 on.
Yeah.
I told you I do my homework up to 10 years before I was born.
I can't remember from last week, so it's going
to
be hard.
You will be able to respond to this one. I am so excited and nervous for this weekend.
What's this weekend?
Jake Paul.
Oh, who's he? Is that Fury?
Fury.
Why are you nervous? Tommy Fury, sorry.
Because I want him to win. I want him to win so bad.
You want Jake Paul to win?
I want Jake Paul to win.
So why is that?
He gets ranked as a WBC, so he's a credible.
How many times does he have to win before people consider it, A, legitimate? I find it hard to believe these guys are all losing on purpose. One, maybe, you know, I'm not naive, but every single one is in on it, and not a single thing has come out to prove it.
So I don't think that he's not legitimate. If you watch him, he knows how to box.
Sure.
Yeah. He's actually training. He's in shape. He's, what, 23 years old?
He's got the greatest young team guy around him.
Yeah, he greatest has everything. Coaches. He's training. He's working hard. He's really dedicated. You don't just go out and just play box. Like, you have to really know how to box. Ben Askren was play box and got knocked out. What's the other guy's name? The Nate Robinson play box and got knocked out.
Woodley.
I think Woodley knows how to box. Woodley's just kind of past his prime. And, you know, that kind of happened. But he's fought guys who are fighters. Yeah. And from what I've seen, he's tried to fight boxers multiple times now. And they backed out. This is Tommy Fury's second time, right? The other guy, I forget his name, Top Ramen, or what's his name?
KSI?
No, not KSI. The black dude with the dreads, whatever it was, but he was like, oh, he's that not making weight. Down. Yeah, I know, right? His name is Ram something, but anyway.
Raheem.
And he ended up backing out. He didn't make weight. Yeah. He was kind of messing around with it. And so he's trying to, you know, fight and earn the respect of the boxing community. Yeah. I just think that they're kind of boring fights. And, you know, like, even though with Anderson Silva, like, I'm not saying he didn't knock out Anderson Silva. I'm just saying I don't feel like he was putting his best foot forward. Anderson Silva wasn't. So it's like a little, I don't know. I'm still skeptical.
A money grab.
Yeah.
But they're not throwing it.
Yeah, I'm still skeptical because I watched his brother Logan go fight some KSI, and I watched him go fight Floyd Mayweather.
Right,
Mayweather. He's almost twice Mayweather's size walking around, right? He's 200-something pounds. He was telling Mayweather, you can see it in the video, he's telling him, like, relax, man, it's an exhibition. Just chill. He's telling Mayweather this.
Right.
Because Mayweather was piecing him up. So I want to go see him fight, you know, just keep improving. You know, he's in, what, six fights in his boxing career?
Right.
How many people who are six fights in do we watch?
None.
Nobody.
None. Zero.
Nobody.
You don't see them until they're 18-0.
Exactly. Until they're, like, got a big record. And so I think just keep letting them develop and we'll see where it goes.
But what do you think happens, A, if he wins, and B, if he loses? Does everybody fall off if he loses?
Yeah, but that's boxing. Boxing is the sport that if you have one loss, unless you're a guy like Canelo, if you have one loss, then people just forget about you. Right. Anthony Joshua was the hottest thing in the world. He lost a fight, and everybody just, you don't even hear him talk about it anymore.
None.
Right? The only person who's still get talked about, the Bronze Bomber, but he lost, his three only losses are to arguably one of the best heavyweights of all time, in Tyson Fury.
And the Bronze Bomber was like just a knockout artist. I mean, he would just be able to sleep with one punch.
Yes.
And that's what made the fights exciting because he had that one punch power.
Yes.
He didn't have technique as he got exposed at the top.
Mm-hmm.
But on his way up to the top, it was exciting to watch. You want to watch every fight because it was reminiscent.
He had like 30 wins, 27 knockouts. Like, he doesn't want to go see
it. It was reminiscent of the Tyson era where you just wanted to go see that first round KO. You wanted it over with. You wanted to see devastation.
Yeah. Right? But I think that's the thing with boxing is – there's this whole idea that if you lose, like, your career is over.
Right.
Then everybody wants, like, again, we're having this whole thing with Gervonta Davis and Ryan Garcia.
Yeah.
Right? They should have fought, like, 2 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
But everybody keeps ducking and fighting all these guys who aren't as good as them, who they know they can beat, because they want to have that perfect record and get their big payday. Because they know when you lose.
What happens is they end up aging and then fights and injury. Like, Tony Ferguson was supposed to fight back in New York years
numerous times. Yeah.
Numerous times. But like, you miss your window, and now you're not in the contention. Now you're not going to get a title shot. Now your career is over. It's on the backside.
That's one thing I love about the risk. I think my favorite thing about the UFC is they give the fans the fights that they want to see. And if you don't want to fight, you will get your title vacated. And that's just simple as that. And I like that a lot about, again, UFC's not perfect. Dana's not perfect. But more than not, you're going to get the fights that the fans want to see, the fights that the two best guys in the division are going to meet each other once, twice, three times, and you can still be a huge star. Conor McGregor is the biggest draw in UFC. He's lost like two out of his last three fights or whatever it is, right? But people want to go see him because he's a star.
I saw Conor this week. I was in Vegas this week.
I think boxing should adopt that mantra. Like,
no, I agree.
It's not about – let the best people fight each other. Errol Spence Jr. should have been fought I forget the other guy's name.
He's fighting Keith Thurman.
Yeah.
Earl Spence is fighting. That's a big fight.
Yeah. Finally.
But with boxing, there's so many different organizations. Crawford. It's not like one promotion. Crawford.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, which makes it a little difficult. With the UFC, it's whoever's in the UFC.
Yeah.
Right. Stable, promotion, you know, whatever. In boxing, they're all over the place.
I think I became such a big fan of Canelo Alvarez because Canelo is one of those guys who's not scared to go fight anybody.
Yeah.
Canelo's going to fight. He's going to go up in weight, down in weight. Big, small, he's going to go fight guys. Who was the guy, the Russian dude he fought that ended up beating him? Because Canelo usually fights at 145. He went all the way up to 180 to go fight somebody just because he's like, man, I've watched all the rest of these guys. I'm not going to go beat guys I've already fought. The Caleb Plant fight, was a good fight. Okay. So he's lost fights, but he's a huge star. He's probably still the biggest star in boxing currently because he's going to go get that thing done.
For sure. You mentioned scared. I know we're going to talk about this later. I've been getting all over fans for a long time. Fans that kept saying Lorenzo Hunt is scared of Richmond. And Richmond fans who are saying Lorenzo's scared of Richmond. Yeah. And Richmond, you know, and I kept saying they're not scared of each other.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're not. They're professional fighters. It's going to happen. What a fight.
What a fight.
Oh my.
That was awesome.
And like I've said, and Dave Feldman's going to be on in the second hour, the best boxer fought that night, mm-hmm. and the best fighter fought that night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's no doubt, we've always said it, Richmond is the best boxer in bare knuckle, and he is. And Lorenzo, and big kudos to the ref for not stopping it, because he could have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a little wobbly and stuff, and Mike made a mistake, stormed in, and how many times
as fans, as fight fans, do we have a build-up to a massive fight? The main event never delivers. It's just a dud. It doesn't live up to the hype. This one lived up to every second of the hype.
It did live up to the hype, but what I didn't like is that it ended so quickly. Like, I would have liked to have seen
another round,
the third round. I mean, it was fantastic. Yeah. It was incredible. And I don't know if you saw, and I reached out to Lorenzo 412 times, and he did not respond,
He's still on his victory lap right now.
Well, I understand that. Did you see the video of him in the back?
No.
Where he literally, it looked like he was crying. And he went to Richmond and said, I have never had my ass beat like that before. You know, big props between the two.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
I saw the same thing with Islam and Volk after the fight. Volkanovski walked up to Islam. They gave each other a hug. They took a picture. And then Islam says, how about we do an Abu Dhabi next time? And then Volk said, yes, my turn to get booed. And so that's one of the things about the fight game that's so beautiful. Is you can go out there, knock a dude out, or go out there and fight for that long and then go hug it out, you know, and go have that respect for each other. It's pretty dope.
I like that, unless it, in the case of Lorenzo and Richmond.
Why?
Well, when they literally hate each other, and they do, mm-hmm. and they still do, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I want you to continue to hate each other.
Okay, but how about this, though?
I'm okay with, let me just finish this.
Okay.
I'm okay if you now have a respect for the person who did get in there and they did fight, and I respect you, but I still hate everything that you've done or you're about and that kind of thing.
It's almost one of those things where if you hate somebody, like, I'm really like, you have siblings, you and your brother get into this, you know, heated argument. You guys have a lot of stuff bubbling.
Welcome to the program. But Randy got in a fight with his brother when he was in high school, and they still don't like each other.
Well, like me and my brother.
I think I don't like him. I don't think he's.
But we had that stuff all the time. Me and my brother always have these bashing of heads. My parents just said one day, go in the backyard and let it out. And we went. We fought each other for 5-10 minutes. And afterwards, it's like, okay, hey, that's done now. We got out of our system, right? And, you know, and it's like, that hate kind of leaves because you've expressed it.
Well, no, it's never going to leave, but we kind of did the same thing. My brother and I got in a fight, and I'm pretty sure I lost, and then I stabbed him.
Oh, good grief. With what? A knife?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, what happened was, and so I don't go to jail for this.
Statute of limitations. That was 8 years ago.
It was a long time ago. But we were cutting the yard. He was cutting the yard. He was mowing the yard.
Yeah.
And I was trimming the yard, you know, with basically scissors. With shears. Yeah.
Wow.
So every time he would walk by me, he would, like, rub my head. And I'm like, dude, stop. And then he'd go up a row, and he'd come back another row, and he'd do it again. And he did it again, and he did it again. So I took the shears, and I swear to you, I did not mean for it to stick in the back of his leg. I meant to, you know how you would throw the shears, and it would go in the grass, and it would stick in? Well, that was the plan. The plan is it stuck in his leg and not the grass.
Wow.
It was not a good day.
Yeah, I've dodged a few.
For him or me.
I've dodged a few things thrown my way with my brother. But yeah, that's just your kids, man. Things like that happen.
But now, just so, you know, the world doesn't just think I'm the donkey. I remember. Yeah. Well, no, this is what he did to me one time. So, you know, back in the day, I don't know if they were around recently when you were growing up, the caps, you know, for like the gun, you put that red strip. Yeah. And, you know, then they make a sound, like a bang sound. No.
It's what they use in the Nigerian army now.
No.
So you pull the strap out, right? It's just this all thing that's rolled. And you, like, he goes, my brother goes, here, hold these down. So you're holding the end. And then he takes a hammer. And he would hit it so that it would pop, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he went down the whole row until he got to my thumb. And didn't stop. So don't make it out to be that I'm, you know, the only bad guy, because that's not the case. All right, 15 down, an hour and a half still to go. Let's hit our next break. Coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza. What's today's special?
don't know yet.
Okay. It's so I always like an owner that knows nothing about what's going on.
That's the surprise. That's the special.
This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Stapson.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello, hello. This is Robin Zander. I want you to listen to Talking Sports with Randy Harris. That's right. He's my friend.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
It all starts here. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, roars along the spectacular waterfront of beautiful downtown St. Petersburg. Are you ready? Be here. March 3rd to the 5th, the NTT IndyCar Series headlines an action-packed weekend of racing under the sun.
Scott McLaughlin, he is now an IndyCar race winner!
Advance tickets start at $25. Get yours now. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, March 3rd to 5th. Be here.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Archie Manning, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back hanging out here at Tournament de Pizza. I believe, as I'm watching this on the Twitter universe, today was media day out with the Blue Jays.
Oh, yeah?
And there's this really, I better not say nasty things.
Mediocre
outfielder.
Yeah.
In a Blue Jays, wearing number 39. I think that's the number he wore here, isn't it?
Kluckemeyer.
Yep, Kluckemeyer out there in Dunedin. Spring training, you a baseball guy at all? Or?
Really good friends. I have two really good friends that play baseball. Kanan, Smith, and Jigba. He plays for Pittsburgh.
It's too many letters for a jersey, dog.
Actually, funny enough,
Garcia Parra had to wrap it around.
The older brother for Smith and Jigba, who plays receiver, who's going to be a first-round pick in Ohio State. And John Duplante, who I grew up with, he plays for the Phillies now, funny enough. He's a pitcher. And so I watched
in the big club?
Yeah. Very cool. I watched him. He's actually rehabbing out here in Clearwater right now. But I watch baseball because of them. I told you I'm excited about baseball and the new rules. I'm excited to see how it goes, move the game faster. Maybe get more runs.
What do you like about the bigger base? What does the bigger base do?
I told you about the slide. When you're sliding in. You know, because before, you have to slide so close to the guy's foot, he can turn around and tap you. Now maybe you can finesse it a little bit.
So it's not about getting hurt. It's a better opportunity for you to be safe on the slide.
Yeah, I think both. I think both two things can be true, right? And then maybe they think aesthetically it looks better. I don't know. You know, honestly, like I watch it because of those guys. I'm getting into it more and more.
Isn't that like making a golf course like the holes bigger? Like it would be like just make it easier just to
no. That would be if they made, that would be if they made the ball bigger.
Easier to tag the person out. Easier, like the you know the short tops going to be able to cover faster because it's a bigger space. Like it's not so
make the game exciting.
I don't know. It's gonna change the game. I mean, Randy was yesterday posted for Media Day at Valspar that we didn't get invited to.
Yeah.
That golf should be.
We see a trend here going.
Should be seven holes. I think baseball should be seven innings. I think there's no reason to drag it out the way it is.
But the thing about it is, why the nine innings is a problem is because it goes so slow, and pitchers can sit there, stand there, wink here, look back, move my hat, like I'm going to pitch. I'm going to look over here. Like you take 5 minutes to throw a pitch, then the batter gets out of the box, hits a shoe four times. That whole superstition thing. I got to come in, tap my shoe, hit this, wipe my arms. Now I'm going to get in the bat. Well, then the pitcher stops and resets, and you got to go do that whole thing again. It's wasting time.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah,
then pitcher, they throw the ball to first. Then they throw back.
You got 20 seconds to get in here and throw this ball. Batter, you got 15 seconds to get in here and get on the box, and let's go. And I think you're going to see more runs. I really believe you're going to see more runs because pitchers are going to have to get sped up. They're not used to. And I think you're going to see stolen bases happen more. I think it's going to make the game.
They're going to have a time clock?
Yeah.
That's
time clock for the batters to get into the box and for the pitchers to pitch it. Oh, I think the batters have 15 seconds, the pitchers have 20.
Oh, I didn't realize baseball is my new favorite sport.
Can't switch. Nice. You know, oh, this guy was just to the right. You know, you can't move everybody to the right anymore. Let's go play.
So which that bothers me even
more. It doesn't bother me at all.
So in football, if you run out of clock, you get penalized and 5 yards back.
Yes.
Strike, replay, it's the
it's
down.
It's a ball. If the pitcher
it's a ball or a strike.
It's a ball or strike, yes.
Right. So then how about in the NFL, defenses have to be in a certain position. You can't play man-to-man. You have to play zone.
That's not the same thing.
Sure it is. It's the same thing.
Not the same thing.
For the switch?
Yeah. So the switch would basically be like playing man-to-man. Right?
Yeah.
Now you have to play zone. You have to be in a certain spot.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to get it passed.
It's not the same thing.
I'm going to get it passed, though. I'm still going to do it.
You're still going to get it passed.
I'm going to get it pushed. I'm going to push it through the NFLPA.
I mean, but look at it, though.
You can't double team a player anymore in the NFL.
There's certain plays you can't. Right? But look at it, though. When you sack a quarterback, it used to be fine. Now it's a penalty. You have to literally pick the quarterback up, put a pillow on the ground, and gingerly put him down. People adjusted to that. People complained for a long time.
Well, they still complain and they still haven't adjusted.
It's still they've adjusted. I think that this year, if you look before Tua and after Tua, they started calling some ridiculous ones. Prior to Tua getting injured, it wasn't the best, right? It's still like you get a forearm to the helmet, it's a flag, and all these things like that. I don't agree with all those, but guys have adjusted so well. You watch any guy get a sack, defensive lineman. They tackle him, then they roll and let him go as soon as he's on his way down.
Yeah, I do.
And you do see people break sacks more because of it, but D linemen have adjusted really, really quickly. Players adjusted to not hitting guys over the middle really, really quickly. Right? These guys are the best athletes. Adjust and let the game progress and play. And you can't disagree with the model because the NBA, again, say what we want about the All-Star game, but the NBA, when they made it more spread open, it's flourishing. Numbers are going up. The NFL, it's the biggest game in the world. Look at the Super Bowl numbers. Like, it was through the roof. You know, so I think the baseball, they're making changes because they have to.
Speaking of the NBA, and I did not watch the All-Star game or any of it.
I just saw highlights.
Yeah, tell me about the developmental guy that won the slam dunk, right?
Yeah, Matt McClung. So funny enough, when he was in high school, him and Zion were, I think, in high school at the same time. They're both seniors. And they were the two best dunkers in recent memory. So if you go back to his high school tape, he was doing all these dunks that he's doing in game. So he's in high school, this white kid who's like 6'1", right, running up between the legs, windmill dunks, and all that kind of stuff. So it's been in him, and he's been that good. And I think it was great to see it on display. It was definitely the highlight of All-Star Weekend.
Okay. For sure. Now, he must not be that good because I think he's doing a autograph session for $39 an autograph.
Yeah, okay, but he's a good dunker. Doesn't mean he's a good basketball player.
Right.
Some of the best dunkers are not in the NBA. Most of the best dunkers are in the NBA. You know, the game is so much more than just being able to get, if you can, you know, get up there and dunk. So, but it was definitely fun to watch.
I want to read some numbers to you.
Okay.
To give me your thoughts on this. Now, all right. I'm all for memorabilia. You know, we're going to start a sports card segment here in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, nice.
But let me read some of these prices. I got the authentic list from the Phillies. Every team does this. How about every pitch that is thrown, they sell that baseball? Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Talked about that.
This one was Zach Wheeler pitched to Jurickson Profar. It was a foul ball.
Okay.
How much do you think it is?
$75.
$35.
$400.
What?
That's ridiculous.
$399.99.
Shut up.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Let me get a better one for you.
A foul ball.
A foul ball.
That's crazy.
All right, how about this one? Zach Wheeler pitched to Trent Grissom for a strikeout in the fifth inning.
Okay, strikeout.
$750.
Okay, I'll say $300.
$600. $599.
That's insane.
It's crazy.
Hold on, are these like legends? Or are these
no.
Like, no, I don't even know who that
is
guy
it Babe
is.
Babe Ruth. Yeah,
no, I've never heard of this guy's name.
Hey, you want? Okay, I got a funny memorabilia story for you. So, there is a female rapper called Big Lotto.
Big Lotto.
And again, I might not be speaking to our right audience here, but there's a female rapper.
Wow. Or the right host.
Yeah. Called Big Lotto. She's a very attractive woman, right? And she has a big derriere, to say it in FCC terms, and she had used some famous, you know, stage performer she had. She had this leopard print thong on that you could see. She put it for auction, and it sold for $95,000 on eBay. So how's that for memorabilia?
The sand, the Tom Brady. We talked about it.
Yeah.
The sand.
It's $100,000 or something like that.
Is that us crazy?
It's insane.
Well, I just sold my Caleb Bentnot Saints signed jersey or shoes, cleats for $6.
That's crazy. Why would you sell that? That was a gift.
No, game-worn jerseys from 2022.
Okay, those would be high.
Aaron Noah, $5,000.
I could see that.
For what?
I could see that. I could see that, though.
Bryce Harper's went for like
20?
More than that. I want to say it was like 50.
Yeah.
And Brady's went for just...
What about the referee's jersey that gave the Chiefs the Super Bowl this year?
Don't be one of those guys.
No, I'm just saying. Because I saw Mahomes, they traded jerseys.
Yeah, did you see that photo? That was funny.
No, I didn't see it.
It was, you know how you swap jersey? Yeah. It said best jersey swap of the Super Bowl. Mahomes and the ref were swapping.
What about Mike Evans signing autographs for the refs?
Well, supposedly that wasn't true. Was that true?
Yes, it was true.
Talking about
I think he said something about golf. Yeah, like, oh, stop it.
He was talking about a golf game.
Stop that. Yeah. He has an autograph. I don't have a problem with it. Because, again, the game is over.
It's perception.
You're a fan, yeah.
It's perception. Yeah. And that's the unfortunate thing, because it's perception. Do I really believe, and I'm naive, and we all know that ref that refed Clay Guida's fight, and he's on Clay Guida's Facebook, he got blasted.
Yeah.
How can you ref? It's perception. Yeah. You know that.
Well, speaking of perception, after the bare knuckle last Friday night, the corner cut man that put the Vaseline on Austin Trout's neck, Diego Sanchez is claiming that it's cheating, the cut man cheated because he put Vaseline on the back of the neck and he couldn't get the clinch, and that was Sanchez's like strategy to win.
Did he have a cut on the back of his neck?
No, but he was using it so he couldn't get a grip, so he couldn't actually clinch and throw uppercuts. And there's talk that Sanchez is going to sue the BKFC because of the corner man putting illegal Vaseline on the back of the neck. And then Big Mike McCarthy and all these like UFC guys are now coming out and talking about G as a cheater. And G is the cut man. He's just doing his job.
So he had a cut on the back of his neck, or he didn't?
No, it wasn't a cut.
They put Vaseline.
They put Vaseline on the back of his neck. So when he went to clinch, he couldn't hold him on.
Is that illegal?
We don't know. It's like a gray area. It's not. Written that it's illegal.
But it's not what fighters do.
It's not what fighters do.
It doesn't matter. If it's not a rule, then they didn't break a rule.
I don't know if it's a rule or not. I know they put
Vaseline on your face.
Right. To keep the cuts. So it doesn't open the skin and the flesh.
Yeah.
But on the back of the neck, there's no purpose for it except for to eliminate somebody from grabbing.
Well, they should probably find a way to put this in the rule book then.
But they're blasting G, and he had nothing to do with it. I mean, he did it. He put it on there. But but the perception is he put the Vaseline on the coach's hands so the coach could do it too. So it looked like they were in on it. And so that's what it looks bad.
Stick'em was allowed until it wasn't in the NFL.
Right.
So
right. when Lester Hayes had an interception on his elbow.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
The ball stuck to his elbow, and it was all good. All right, quarter past. Let's hit our last break of this hour. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Song.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Raleigh Fingers, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, If you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
It all starts here. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, roars along the spectacular waterfront of beautiful downtown St. Petersburg. Are you ready? Be here. March 3rd to the 5th, the NTT IndyCar Series headlines an action-packed weekend of racing under the sun.
Scott McLaughlin, he is now an IndyCar race winner!
Advance tickets start at $25. Get yours now. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, March 3rd to 5th. Be here.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
And you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
And you're back. This is Knockout Radio coming to you live from Nickel Pizza. And we're streaming. Streaming everywhere. I got cameras in my face.
We spent 4 days on Radio Row.
We did.
And neither one of you two knuckleheads got a single new liner.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Totally dropped the ball.
Now, producer was busy.
I don't know.
Yeah, he was busy producing, getting Pat McAfee, doing a bunch of really good stuff.
I mean, get
what did you do?
Pat McAfee, that's a little bit of a stretch. I mean, like, he didn't even know who Pat McAfee was. So I was like, hey, that's Pat McAfee. Why don't we try to, like, get a picture with him? And then it started a conversation.
So producer got Pat McAfee on the show.
Producer didn't even know who he was.
Dinkeldorf over here got a picture with him.
Dinkeldorf. That's the...
How excited are you for next weekend's UFC? I know there's a UFC this weekend.
Yeah.
How excited for next week, the return of the GOAT?
Man, I can't wait. I cannot wait. It's going to be – I'm going to be nervous a little bit. I like him the way I like Izzy and I like Kamaru and all those guys. It's going to be fun. I think he – I won't give a prediction yet. I'll wait. I'll wait, but I'm very fired up.
I do want to see him at the weigh-in. I want to see him at the press conference. I want to see – you know, the demeanor, you know, yeah. I do that all the time. You know, it's the demeanor tells me a lot.
You know, so the funny thing about John is his demeanor is never, other than the DC fights, because him and DC had a little bit of bad blood. His demeanor is never like super aggressive at weigh-ins. He's really calm, I feel like.
Let me ask you this. If that's a little, what's a lot to you?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I guess a lot could be Conor McGregor and
Habib. They're pretty close. I'll tell you what. The two were pretty close.
So John Jones was at the BKFC. He's with Big Ticket, Walt Harris. They're at a table.
I saw that, yeah.
Ollie Holm in attendance. And he told me to tell you hello. John said hello. I told him, you know, I was with the Knockout Radio. And I told him that Randy says hello. And his demeanor was great.
See how he slides into that? Hey, John, Randy Knockout Radio says hello. I'm with him. Can I slide into the table? Can I take a photo?
Yeah. And I asked him to buy me a soda. And it was all good.
You know, it was funny. I saw somewhere on social media, people are still blasting John Jones for cheating and everything he did. And the response was, did you not see Daniel Cormier weigh in that time?
Yeah, with the towel.
With the towel.
Like, come on. It's so funny. I love the fact that they say that. And then Chael Sonnen. I like him a lot because he's just like, yeah, I'm a cheater.
Yeah.
Because I love to cheat. He's like, you're not cheating, you're not trying. That's true. It's hilarious.
The best one Chael ever said, he was being interviewed at a press conference, obviously, and somebody, I don't even know if they were real media, it was probably Matt that asked this question. He said something to him like, have you ever been in handcuffs before? Mm-hmm. Well, he had. You know, he had a situation.
When he beat five people up?
No.
Before that.
It was a real estate.
Okay.
Alleged.
Yeah.
And he made fun of it. He's like, obviously, you don't know about my real estate issues or whatever that one issue was. I love Chael Sonnen.
I do.
I love everything about him.
Speaking of cheaters, though, Dan Hooker accuses Islam Makhachev of using IVs because he had a really bad weight cut. Using IVs to get his hydration back. And apparently there's some kind of, I think there used to be a restriction on how much liquid you can infuse, and now they banned it all together.
Right.
And there was a mark on his arm when he got his arm raised, and he said it was from a drug test, from USADA. Do you have any insight into what's going on with all that stuff?
I don't. Obviously, I'll be out in Vegas next week. I'll try to find out what I can. And I'm torn on that. I'm truly torn because if you make an accusation like that and you can't prove it,
it's kind of crazy.
It's something should be done.
Yeah.
But on the same line, I'm the guy that says, you know, sticks and stones, say whatever you want, as long as it's, you know, not illegal.
Yeah.
This is kind of that gray point, and there shouldn't be a gray area.
Yeah.
It should be one or the other. You can ruin reputations, whether it's this, whether it's domestic, whether it's whatever. Yeah. If you make an accusation and you can't prove it, I think something should be done.
I agree with you. I agree 100%. I use IV. I think every athlete who plays sports uses IV. I know the UFC, the rules are different because of, you know, the weight and like all that kind of stuff like that. But like, to me, it's a common thing before the game, halftime, after the game. Like, I'm tripling up because I need to get hydration back. And for me, if you weight cut and you get your weight down and you're on the verge of death, some guys are when they do their weigh-ins, why not use IV and get fluids back in your system? I don't understand that rule.
But. Well, I think part of it is because of how a lot of athletes have taken it to a whole new level. It is unhealthy. You know, they're damaging themselves. And they want, like, I want weigh-ins to be the morning of.
Mm.
I would much rather that. And then everybody's response is, well, then I don't have time. Yeah, that's the point.
So that's how you lose the weight.
Right. Yeah. The point is fight in the category that you should be fighting in.
Yeah.
You know, do the weight cut properly. Don't start. We had Johnny Hendricks on. I don't know if you were on at that time.
No, it was
before. He was like 35 pounds over on Wednesday and made weight.
Oh, listen, the worst I've seen in the NFL. So certain teams really enforce weights. Some teams don't. A lot of teams would be like, hey, if you can play, as long as you're not 400 pounds, you're fine, right? And we're not going to monitor you. But certain teams do. The Saints do. And so you weigh in every Thursday. And so, like, Thursday was, like, usually like O-line dinner. So guys just have to fight all week to kind of get down. And I've seen guys who, they come in the morning, weigh-ins, you have to weigh in before 8 o'clock meeting. At 6 a.m., 5:30 in the morning, they're 35 pounds overweight. And in 2 hours, they have got all that out in the steam room, the sauna, go lift weights, go back in the steam room, and literally dress themselves and weigh themselves naked, and they'll make their weight. Like, I've seen that, like, with my own eyes. And I'm like, dude, this is not healthy. But then he goes and crushes two boxes of Krispy Kreme donuts. That's how some people want to, you know, maneuver. I was never, it's not for me. I don't like feeling like that, because you leave there feeling so weak and drained, and, like, it's not a fun thing.
I've seen some of these athletes try to get up on the scale. And they can't even lift their leg up, you know, from, you know, and that's the damage that's being done, you know, for down the road.
If you got to weigh in butt naked, I think you should probably find a weight class.
You got to shave your head.
Well, no, like Adam Hunter said, I mean, that's the motivation that I want. If you're willing to shave your head.
Yeah, you're disciplined. You're committed.
That's discipline.
Yeah, it is.
You know, make weight at all costs. Cut the leg off.
But then you have guys like Izzy and guys like Volkanovski and John Jones. And certain guys who, like, just it's never a problem for them. They don't even come close. Conor McGregor's never come close to missing his weight. And so I just, like, I think either fight in the class that's more comfortable for you.
Yeah.
Or I agree. Just have a camp or start in a process where you're not trying to lose 11 pounds in 10 hours.
Well, I mean, Lorenzo Hunt is going up to heavyweight. I mean, everybody said he couldn't make weight. He said he couldn't make it. He made it. You know, he won, but I mean, he didn't look great out there. He looked tired. He looked gassed. He got rocked, you know. So, you know, he wants to go up to heavyweight. So I don't know if that's just because he's tired of weight cutting or if he just wants to prove that he's a heavyweight champion, which is a prestigious thing for him.
Well, he wants to win the third belt, and he can't go down two levels.
Right.
Yeah. You know, he definitely can't do that. You know, if this was a program that did research, I would like to know how many times a fighter misses weight, they lose.
Oh, that's a good...
Like 5%?
Mm.
You know, yeah. I mean, there's a huge advantage.
Yeah.
And that's why I've said all along, the penalty for missing weight is not severe enough.
No, no.
Because it's affecting the fighter who did everything he was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
The odds are now in the fatty's favorite.
Yep.
Because he didn't beat himself up. He didn't drain himself. You know, and so the guy loses. He loses 8,000, 10,000, whatever. The guy just won and lost 20%. Big deal.
Yeah.
But like they should do like a percentage, 10% for every pound over. So if you're like a pound over, you lose 10%. If you lose, you're 5 pounds over, you lose 50%. If you're 10 pounds over, you fight for free.
Well, first, I don't think anybody, you couldn't sanction it, I don't believe, if you miss weight by 10 pounds.
Who is Hamza fighting? Speaking of guys who miss weight, who is he fighting next? Why does it seem like he fights once a year?
Yeah.
And everybody want to crown him the next beast. I'm like, he's not active enough. like the best fighters are fighting three times a year. Some people four.
Well, unless it's John, and then it's every 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, but in the prime of his career, he was fighting pretty regularly. He was defending it three times a year.
Yeah.
And whooping people's butts. And like
you commented earlier, and I know we only have a couple minutes until the top of the hour, like 1 minute. How concerned are you? Think about it, and then respond to this when we come back. Of the long layoff, yes, he's training, but it's still not the same as actually being in there fighting. Yes, you're throwing punches when you spar. It's not the same as fighting against somebody that you need these punches to land. So we'll discuss that when we return. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Zone.
Talk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, face demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.